Hello, everybody, and welcome back into another Hockey Writers Podcast season preview show here on the YouTube channel. And of course, wherever you're listening on your podcast network, if you're just listening, we're getting, as you can see behind on beside me here, we're going to Toronto Maple Leafs. I've got two writers that you know, Peter Barracchini. He's on so many shows. Maple Leafs Lounge, Prospect Corner. He's had time on the podcast as well. Also, welcoming back to the YouTube channel, Kevin Armstrong, who used to host the Maple Leafs Lounge. He's been off for a bit, but thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Peter, for coming on. First of all, Kevin, how's it going? Off air, I mean, for most of the time, but we still see you writing quite a bit for the Hockey Writers. So how's it going?
Hey, Matthew and Peter. It's great to see you guys, and nice to be back on the show. Life got in the way a little bit there, but the lounge is still looking good. Happy that Peter's still going with it strong. life's been good, but from the hockey standpoint, I think you guys know from my articles, I'm not happy with this offseason. Mm-hmm. I don't like how it's gone at all. It's been crazy. You guys know we always get lots of different comments, everything mm-hmm. like that. But until I started getting a little bit more negative in my writing, I couldn't believe how much the positive "you must support the team" people hounded me. I was getting messages on my Facebook, personal Facebook, DMs on my Twitter with like, you're not a fan, get out of here, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I got to say, man, it's if you are born into this team and you've been watching it for as long as I have, if some things happen in the offseason that you don't like, you can say those things. Mm. If I just started watching this team yesterday and started bashing it today, no, that's not cool. You can't do that. But, look behind me. Leafs through and through. I love this team. I want them to succeed, but I'm not happy with how things have gone the last couple of months.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot has happened. Not really. Maybe not a lot has happened with the Maple Leafs. They let a few guys go in free agency. They added a few depth guys we'll talk about. Some contracts haven't been signed, which, of course, you probably know who I'm talking about there. Peter, how's it going? I mean, Maple Leafs Lounge, like I say, we've gone through that. Mm-hmm. And of course you're writing as well. So how's it going today?
Yeah, doing great. Actually, Kevin, glad you're back because it feels like a blast from the past, from the old days when you were hosting. So, and also I learned all the best from the best. So glad that the lounge is still going.
I'm blushing.
And glad that you're back here talking Maple Leafs with us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so I was really happy, Kevin, that you had interest to do this season preview show. So, like I say, it's great to talk to you again. Well, let's get started with the show and start talking about the new additions. I mean, like I said, there's no big names here. I mean, it's more depth guys, but some guys, usually depth sometimes wins you championships. So, I mean, some of these guys could make a big difference in the playoffs when we do get there. So I'll start with you, Peter, on this guy, Cale Yankrock. Came over from the Calgary Flames, free agent. Didn't do much for the Flames, but was with Seattle Kraken as well last season. What do you think Yankrock will bring to the Maple Leafs in 2022-23?
I'm so glad you gave me Cale Yankrock because you know how much I love him. With the absence of Ilya Mikheyev and, some other depth pieces, you need to try and fill that out. And Yankrock brings just that. I know there was a lot of heat and questions about, giving $2.1 million to a 30-year-old that hasn't even cracked, 35 plus or 40 points because he did crack 35 in 17-18. But that's not Cale Yankrock. He's there to provide some good, steady secondary scoring. And he's going to do just that with the Maple Leafs. He's got the speed. He can play multiple positions. I believe he could play all three. So he's got that versatility. He can move up and down the lineup just as you need to. If there is an injury in the top six, you can try and move him up. I believe he's getting some looks on the top line in preseason. Obviously, you're not going to look at him right away, but maybe to see what he can do if they can try and fit him into a top six role. But most likely you see him as kind of that third liner energy kind of winger because of his speed, his ability to get on the forecheck. And that was something that was lacking in the bottom six last season. And I think injecting him into the lineup is going to go well for them. You look at his numbers, it's been very consistent. He's been a very consistent 30-point scorer since his time with Nashville. Obviously, up and down seasons. He did have some good analytics overall with Calgary, but not so much with Seattle because Seattle's a rebuilding team. We know how they were going into the season, but now that he's on a, I would hope a contending team right now with an improved, you know, more youthful, not youthful, but energetic bottom six. I think he's going to do a lot of great things. And I think that it was a very underrated signing. And I think a lot of fans are going to grow to like Kale Yarncroke based on what he can do and with the energy that he brings.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the signing when it happened. I mean, Yarncroke's a very good depth guy. And he did, when he was in Nashville, he did score. Mm-hmm. He was able to score some goals too. So he can bring a lot to a lineup. And I think it was a good signing. We'll see how it kind of goes, you know, throughout the season. But, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do. All right, Kevin, over to you. We'll talk about another depth guy, Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, who, you know, he's had stints of, you know, Colorado Avalanche, won a cup there this past time. I was in the Philadelphia Flyers organization for a bit as well. What do you think he will bring to the Maple Leafs this season?
This one's short and sweet. He's going to hit everybody. Yeah. I love this. I love this one. I think it's an underrated signing. I know I said I didn't like a lot of things that happened in the offseason, but I did like that one because we've seen it over and over and over again. The hits just aren't there when they need to be there. The grit's not there. And this guy, hey, man, he put a dent in the Stanley Cup. Like, he's going to bring what Leaf fans want to see. I think he might even get some moves around because he's been okay in some other positions throughout. And here's the big thing with him. He was a Philadelphia Flyers draft pick in 2014. Played with that organization all the way through until he was put on waivers seven games into last season and then picked up by Colorado. Not sure exactly where Colorado was, but I'm sure they were near the top at the time. So that means all the other teams had a look at him for nothing. And what did he do? He turned into a pretty good fourth liner, third liner, grit player, wins a Stanley Cup. His confidence probably got a little bit shattered there. I'm thinking when the Flyers sent him on waivers.
Yeah.
But he got it all back, plus some. He just got a tattoo of the Stanley Cup with a dent on it. I think he's going to be a great, you know, bottom six player that I think is going to hit everybody.
Yeah, he's a very, again, another player I really like. And like you say, he did really well in the playoffs. You know, very, you know, he's going to always be in the history books for denting the Stanley Cup in that video. But you know, it's all fun, and I'm sure he's laughing about it, you know, right now. So, but yeah, in Toronto now is hopefully be help to win a cup there. I mean, that's the hope. He's not going to be the reason, but he will help for sure. All right, Peter, back to you. And talking about a guy that I know very well, Adam Gaudette in Vancouver. Didn't work out here. One of the more highly rated prospects. I know I don't know how much I wrote about him when he was here in Northeastern as well. I followed his prospect development quite a bit, but he's now bounced around a few places. He was in Chicago. He was traded to Chicago first, then went to Ottawa off waivers. He hasn't really caught on since coming from Vancouver. So now he's in Toronto. I read on Twitter that he's been practicing on the top line with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. I mean, if he can fit there, it'd be pretty good. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Gaudette and what he can bring to Toronto?
Yeah, I believe he was on the second or the top line for the second group, which was with Tavares and Marner. Again, Tavares, obviously, line combos are mean nothing in preseason. We know that Bunting, Matthews, Marner are going to be together, but I digress. yeah, you know him very well, especially after he won the Hobie Baker and then, 33 points in 59 games in 2019-20. It seemed like, the ceiling or the sky was high for Adam Gaudette. But then I believe he overcame or dealt with, an infection or a stomach virus, had a lot of issues with that. But now I think he's on the mend and he's doing great. And the fact that, he bounced back and scored 6 goals in 10 games for Team USA at the World Hockey Championship, think maybe the Maple Leafs saw something there that maybe he's starting to come around and he's starting to get back to the form that made him successful in college and in the early onset of his career. He's got a heavy shot. He's great in the corners and along the boards in battles. And you know, he's, again, kind of like Yarncroak. He's a very versatile player, can play center, can play the wing. You can fit him in any sort of position, move him up and down the lineup. And obviously he probably projects as maybe the start on the fourth line, but if he's able to play extremely well and impress at camp with his offensive capabilities, if he's able to bounce back and play with some, you know, great players on the top, in a top six role, that top, that second line left wing spot is up for grabs. I know he's a right wing, but maybe you try and utilize him in that position, have him on his off wing, see what he can do. Maybe, you know, he impresses and he does a great job and he fills that spot. Obviously too early to tell based on his history. He's still trying to get back, but I think this was a very underrated signing. And I think this is one player that you should be looking out for, because he can do some damage with his shot. As I mentioned, he's got that not aggressive mindset, but he's got that work ethic, that energy that, you know, the Maple Leafs pride on. And I think with him in the fold in that bottom six role, I think he's going to do extremely well. And if he does move up, so be it, because this is going to be a feel good story on how he's able to turn things around and come back stronger and better than ever.
His Selly game is on point too. So
hey, there you go.
One thing I love about him, he's so enthusiastic when he scores. That was my favorite thing about him. So I actually really liked him in Vancouver. You know, I think there's just some circumstances around him that, you know, with the COVID, that COVID That's year it, yeah. really messed him up. He got COVID, had to deal with that and some stuff in the locker room. So, I mean, a lot of stuff was just in Vancouver. It was kind of like he needed to, you know, have new surroundings. So I'm hoping he does do well in Toronto, because really good, you know, seems like a really good guy. And that's, you know, he has some good qualities. Like you say, his shot's really good. And he competes. So I think he'll do really well. I don't think he's going to do very well if he has to take faceoffs, because he's not that good on faceoffs, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, Kevin, we'll talk about a little more maybe not as well-known guy, but in Toronto he is. He's returning to the Maple Leafs, Dennis Malgin. What do you think he will do in his return to the team?
Oh, boy. Here comes the dark cloud, boys. That's what I was talking about at the beginning. I can't stand this guy, and it's nothing really even to do with him as much as it's to do with Kyle Dubas and trading Mason Marchment for this guy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, when Dubas addressed the crowd on day one media day there and said, I want my whole body of work to be judged, he should have kept Malgin in wherever he was, the Swiss League, and hope people forget about that. You traded away Mason Marchment, which made no sense at the time. Then the guy turns into an amazing player of Florida. Now he's getting $4.5 million for Dallas. He's a great player. He's the son of Brian Marchment, who unfortunately he passed away this summer, but I love that guy. When he played a year with the Leafs, he had like 130 penalty minutes, and that was the last time the Leafs went to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, let me tell you. So I was really happy with Mason Marchment being on this team. And then when he got traded, I didn't care who it was traded for, really. I knew it wasn't going to go well. So Dennis Malgin has done nothing for me. Swiss League, leave him over there. He's not going to make this lineup. He'll be forgotten about.
Yeah, I had to throw him in there because I needed four people, and it was like, oh, hey, here we go.
Now you got me all fired up.
I thought it may too, because I remember talking about this guy. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, let's get on to some pressing issues now, Peter. Talk about that. Like you already talked about that kind of big hole in the second line. Who do you see as the guy that's going to step up? I know we mentioned a few guys on Maple Leafs Lounge in the past, but who do you see as having the best chance of consistently, that's the key word here, consistently being in the top six alongside Tavares and Nylander?
Consistently, the hope is you would like to see Nick Robertson there. I mean, this is his opportunity with his development. I mean, 2 years removed from his last OHL game, you're looking really good in the AHL. Obviously, you need to round out some aspects defensively, and maybe, as Haley Wickenheiser said, dial it back a bit, because there's times where he does try to do too much with the puck, without the puck. He maybe gets overexcited when getting in on the forecheck sometimes and gets out of position. But I started to see a little bit of a progression throughout the rookie tournament. Still some holes, but really thought that maybe this is maybe his time to run with it. because opportunity is there and this is his chance. And, you know, the Maple Leafs are going to give him every single chance and opportunity to succeed. So I would hope that they would try and give him as much time in that top six role to see how he would fare this time around, whether probably most likely going to be Tavares and Nylander again. But then again, if he doesn't, then there's going to be a revolving door of wingers. Pierre Engvall, even though he's injured, when he comes back, maybe he has a shot because he has a lot to prove because he busted out offensively last season as well. Is Cale Yarncroc maybe going to be there? Adam Gaudette, you know, we really don't know. Alexander Kerfoot, again, another name. So you have like maybe five or six solid options, but the hope is Nick Robertson can consistently take that spot, run away with it, given his ceiling, his projection, and his shot too. I mean, he just shoots everything in sight, and he's got great accuracy. So if he's able to find that consistency, it's his spot to take.
I think the key word that Matthew said there too, and Peter, you hit on it, is the consistency.
Yes.
Because all those forwards that you mentioned will probably play on the second line at some point in game one or two.
Yeah.
Keith loves changing his lines and he changes everybody out. But my consistency one would be a safe one with Kerfoot. That's who I think will be
there. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, big audition. Whoever gets there, that's two guys you can play with. And get you some points, so it'd be good to stay there. Well, let's talk about a guy, Kevin, that has no problem getting points and no problem getting goals. Austin Matthews, he hit 60 goals last season, broke franchise record. A Hart Trophy winner as well. I mean, he's just insane. Do you think he will do that again or just go back to his average of 30 to 40 goals, which is not horrible? What do you think will happen with Matthews this year?
See, when you're saying average of 30 to 40, those came during those COVID shortened seasons.
True.
So I think when you look at his stats lines, it kind of, if you're not looking over at the games played to the goals and the points, it kind of looks skewed, right? But so if you take our last season as our judging point, he was injured at the beginning of that season. Mm-hmm. He was suspended in that season. I love that suspension still, but he only got 73 games and 60 goals. So, and he was healing his wrist. I don't know if they put like a Terminator type attachment in that wrist when he had the surgery or what, but he's only getting better. All the signs show that it's just forward progression is just going up and up and up and up. And I don't think we've seen the best of Austin Matthews. As great as he was last year, I think we're going to see better. And I think that's scary. I think I'll save my bold predictions for later on. But I think it's going to be the year of Austin Matthews for sure.
And one other thing to note already. Too. One other thing to note too with Austin Matthews, when he came in, or when he started playing again, he was about, you know, 10 or so goals behind the next leader. And throughout the season, he kept scoring and scoring. And as everyone started to slow down, he kept going. And we're going to see, and like you said, Kevin, we're going to see another gear with him. And I think maybe we're going to probably see 65 at maybe for the upcoming season, because it is possible.
I totally agree. I think 65 is there, if not higher. And you know what's crazy when you're talking about how he got better as the season progressed? Mm-hmm. That's when teams knew, okay, you got to do something to screw this guy up. You know, like you got to start clutch and hold, man, like slow him down. And it nothing worked. He just
kept he's just so good. And the thing is like just right from his first game, we scored the four goals, and it was four goals in his first game.
Yep.
Yeah, you knew that he was going to be a star in this league, and definitely has become that.
You know, I love the four goals story because he signed a stick to Craig Anderson, who he scored the four goals on with Ottawa. Yeah. And he said thanks for F-O-U-R, the memories.
That's great. That's great.
Anyway, Austin looks like he's quite the character off the ice too, I think we've learned as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, well, let's talk about his line mate now, Peter, and Mitch Marner. He had a career season too, 97 points, best since his 94-point season 2018-19. What do you expect from him this season? Do you see 100 points in the future?
I mean, he would have hit 100 points last season. I mean, three off, especially down the stretch when he got hot, averaging, what was it? I think almost close to 2 points per game from January on. That was just impressive production from Mitch Marner. And if he had a much better consistent October and even early part of November, you would have saw him hit that, you know, 105, 100, mm-hmm. closing in on 110 point mark. And even if Austin Matthews is there, obviously his production would have been up as well. But that October and November stretch when the team was struggling and everyone was complaining about Mitch Marner saying that, hey, you know, Austin Matthews is gone, close to 11 million. He's not showing up. The criticism was, you know, it was kind of fair because you expect your star players or other star players to step up and, you know, your franchise players' absence. And Mitch Marner didn't really quite have that. Ever since he came off that COVID list, though, in January, I mean, I don't know what happened. It was just like Matthews. He found another gear. He found the energy. He found the momentum. And he kept rolling with it from the end of the season into the playoffs. I think we're going to, kind of like Matthews, I think we're going to see another gear in Mitch Marner. I think he's going to be extra motivated this time around. I know that he would like to prove, or he proved a lot of doubters that time in the second half, that saying that, hey, you know, maybe he did have some early season struggles. He forgot about that, moved on. And now the same thing may happen or carry over into the season. So I think this is the season where Mitch Marner actually hits 100 points, not projection, not based on an 82 adjusted schedule, because as much as that was nice to see, it still didn't happen. I think this is the season that Mitch Marner is going to hit 100 points, and we're going to see it consistently night in, night out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't add this in before we move on. I didn't put this in about asking about Michael Bunting.
No.
So I'll ask you quickly.
He got robbed of Rookie of the Year.
Do you see Michael Bunting, progressing even higher than what he did last season?
That's tough because that was amazing, really. No mm-hmm. one really expected that kind of season out of this guy. You hoped for it, but here's the thing. At the end of the season, he got injured and had a few games off. And when he came back for playoffs, he wasn't himself. That kind of showed what that kind of player, the physical tone that takes on their body to play 82 mm-hmm. games like that. And that caught up to him. And I'm a little bit concerned that might roll over. I think he's a regression candidate just because of that physical style of play that he plays night in and night out. All it takes is one little fall the wrong way. And, you know, he wasn't there for the playoffs last year, unfortunately, in the way that he had been in midseason form. So it'd be nice. It would certainly be nice if he was there the way he was last season. But hopefully he's been in the gym and getting stronger, because everyone's going to be coming after him in the blue paint this year.
That's true. What do you think, Peter? Do you think we're seeing Bunting take another step, or is he just going to stay the same or regress?
I think maybe a slight regression. I think he's still going to be in that 50, 60 point range. He may hit that point, because then again, you look who he's playing with, Matthews and Marner, right? And most of his production came at even strength, only 5 power play points, 58 even strength points. So most of his damage is done at 5-on-5, just like Matthews and Marner. Power play struggled at times last year. So I think at 5-on-5, if they're able to maintain their dominance, Michael Bunting's still going to rack up the points no matter what.
Yeah, we'll play with those two. I think go to the net, you'll probably get some goals and points.
Yeah, and Bunting's power play, he was on second unit power play too. And yeah, that one, it didn't really compare to that first line power play. Yeah. But I think more the scoring is great and the points are great for Bunting, but we know he's there as kind of a positional player to muck it up, you know, and to draw the penalties and things like that. I'm just hoping physically he's able to sustain that throughout the whole season and hopefully a playoff run.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
All right, let's circle back to the bottom six now and talk about another guy that's not under contract right now, but is trying to get one. Kevin's a very late signing, PTO, Zach Aston-Reese. Do you think he makes the team? And if he does, what type of impact will he have?
Yes, I totally think he makes this team. I was really surprised that he just fell into the lap of Toronto. Yeah. I thought, what? Is this the same guy I'm thinking of? Is this somebody I haven't heard of? Like, this is, yeah, it is him. And I don't know why no one else has signed him. I think he's going to, I think he's a steal, really, for Dubas. And we've seen this before. And as upset as I get with Dubas every once in a while, this one goes down as another really good bargain find. I don't know why it was even there, but everyone finds gold in the bottom of the bargain basement sometime, I guess. He's another great grinder. I think he'd be a great fourth line guy. And he's also got a lot of experience with winning teams.
Yeah.
I think it was a great find, and I think he will make this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. And I'm surprised too that why he wasn't signed before. I mean, a lot of guys actually. Sonny Milano has a PTO, and he had like a ridiculous season last year. I know there's talk about his concussions, and maybe that's an issue. But you know, he's still a skilled player that's gone under. You know, why he's waiting for a PTO? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think he does make the team too. All right, Peter. Let's talk about the bottom six as a whole now this season. What do you think of it? I mean, last season there was a lot of veterans, you know, Jason Spezza. We had previous year was Joe Thornton. You know, how do you rank this version of the, or potential projected version of the bottom six to previous years?
Even though you may not get a whole lot of offense from this, you know, maybe third line or fourth line, especially the fourth line, this bottom six is more quick, more agile, and more aggressive than it was the previous season. Obviously, you look at Wayne Simmonds, you look at Kyle Clifford, physical in their own right, but they were very, very slow, and they got hemmed in their zone quite a bit. And if you need any more evidence, the playoffs, they got hemmed in quite a bit, especially against Tampa's fourth line. You need the energy, you need the speed, you need the grit for a fourth line. Tampa had that. Toronto had nothing going for them aside from Jason Spezza every now and then. I think now with the addition of Abe Kubel and Reese, they add that physical element. They add the speed. They add, you know, special aspects to special teams, especially on the penalty kill with Zach Aston Reese. Gaudette with his shot. I mean, he could probably chip in maybe 10, 15 points. Same with Abe Kubel. That secondary scoring is going to be key. And if they're able to get in kind of like what Kevin said about Michael Bunting, muck it up with the opposition, get in their face, be aggressive, establish zone time, I think they're going to be very effective. And even in 2020, 21 in that bubble, I did not think that fourth line was going to come back and, you know, be a real, you know, thorn in their side or a real bad aspect to their game. And it was, because it did catch up to them. The fourth, if you look at other teams' fourth line, they're quick. They're in your face. Toronto's was in your face, but they were not quick. And having that right now, that good balance in the third and fourth line, I think it's going to be really great for them.
Yeah, a lot of good bottom six signings I think they added this year. So and that's what you need in the playoffs. The playoffs, that's where these guys shine. So you probably won't see the impact of it until they do make the playoff, you know, until the playoffs come around. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, and that's going to be for the whole team. We all know that.
The way that Keefe runs his team too, as he said, this is the first and second line, there's a lot of talent there, a lot of skill. He kind of lets them do their thing. The third and fourth line, they better be positionally sound, and they better follow his systems to a T. And I think they've got a lot of great potential there for players that are, you know, maybe have had their confidence broke. Maybe were looked past by all these other teams, and they are going to stick to Sheldon Keefe's system and play that bottom six role like their life depends on it. Because for a lot of these guys, they're one-year contracts. This is your opportunity to show that you belong in the league.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, well, let's talk about this forward group as a whole and talk about the division, which has gotten better. You know, the Atlantic Division is, you know, Ottawa Senators have loaded up. They're going to be tougher to beat. You know, some of the other teams have improved too. So, Kevin, what do you think this forward group kind of matches up in the division right now?
I think they're at the top with a lot of the other at the top guys in this division. Yeah. It's a very good division and a lot of fun to watch. The most frustrating part of the Maple Leafs from last year was they would play those Tampas and Floridas and Boston so well, and then they would do nothing when Ottawa comes to town and Montreal. And then, you know, but forward wise, I think they're at the top, maybe tied with some of those Sunshine State teams for the forward group, and would be there right with the other cream of the crop in the NHL for sure.
Yeah, I have to agree with that too. I mean, Ottawa's an unknown. They do have some higher level guys now up at the top there, but we don't know how they're going to kind of fit in. So we'll have to see, but it's going to be really exciting to watch this division kind of duke it out for the playoffs. All right, well, let's shift to the defense. You know, it's a lot of question marks because of injury and stuff, but let's talk about the new additions who are probably going to factor in a little more than we kind of expected to start. So, Peter, we'll start with you and talk about Jordy Benn. Again, I don't know how many former Canucks you have. Jordy Benn also played for the Canucks a couple seasons ago, was a pretty good depth guy, played top four at times. But what do you think he will bring to the Maple Leafs?
A player who will kind of like Abe Kubel hit everything in sight and maintain that defensive presence on the back end. Obviously, you have Morgan Riley up front, Mark Giordano on the back end as well, who can transition up and join the offense every now and then, albeit having a more two-way style play. But it shores up their defensive depth in the event that they do get injuries, and we're seeing that right now with Timothy Liljegren. So you have someone like Jordy Benn that could come in, maybe not have the upside, but he has the smarts and he has the defensive capabilities to shut things down in his own end. And, you know, if he needs to move up into the lineup, same thing applies. And, you know, the biggest thing is with him, and I know we're going to get to the other signing soon, he can play both the left and right hand side. That was a major issue with the Maple Leafs, where they had all these left-handed defensemen who can't play the right side. Now they have a left-handed shot who can play the right side, similar to that of TJ Brody. Having that kind of aspect, or a kind of, again, kind of durability or versatility to their game is going to work out well, because if TJ Brody can be a left-hand shot and play on the right side, there's bound to be other defensemen that can. And bringing in a steady defensive presence like Jordy Benn, where the Maple Leafs have offense with Riley, Brody, and Muzzin, and Liljegren, but he's injured, it gives him that balance on the back end. And I think Jordy Benn was a really great underrated signing.
Yeah, I liked Benn in Vancouver. I think he played really maybe a bit up the lineup than he probably should have. But, you know, I thought he was really good for any partners he was with. I think he played with Quinn Hughes a few times too, and I looked pretty good beside him. So, we'll see what happens with him. Like I said, the injuries, he may have to play a bit more than probably is expected at the beginning. All right, Kevin, let's talk about another guy that bounced around a bit, Victor Mete. Pretty big guy in Montreal for a bit. But like I say, he's bounced around a bit. What do you think about the signing of Mete?
Terrible. I'm done. Next. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't understand this one, because we got to see this guy a few times when he was with Ottawa, and he was more offensive, but he is the left shot. So I guess that's a premium. And I guess that's the thing he's got going for him, because he certainly doesn't have size. He's 5'9". It's listed at 185. I'm questioning 185. I don't know how he's going to deal with some of these top players in the league. But like we've said, there's three of the top seven Leaf defensemen from last year that are question marks right now. So he's got an opportunity. Does he stick? I don't know. I don't like it. He's too small. Like, come on. I want a Victor Hedman, not a Victor Mente. I don't want that. It's a typo. But yeah, we'll see on that one. He's got an opportunity. The runway is clear, but the size is just, for a defenseman, I don't get it.
Yeah, that's probably why he's bounced around a bit. He hasn't been able to stick on a lot of teams, probably because of that fact. So we'll have to see. And like I say, another more big opportunity for because of injuries and stuff, which we'll talk about right now. Peter, I mean, he had some bad news injury-wise in the first media availability there. Timothy Liljegren out 6 weeks. Jake Muzzin, a little bit more optimistic on that. Mm-hmm. I know the talk that, you know, he may be ready. They were just kind of holding him out because of precautionary reasons, back discomfort. But I always say the back is always an issue. It always seems to flare up throughout the season. And that's not a good sign to start. So who will have to step up? We'll talk with the third guy later. With these guys out of the lineup.
Yeah, I've been dealing with back issues since 23, and I can say it's not fun. I had to put my hockey career, even just for like just for fun because of it. I'm really upset to hear about Timothy Liljegren. Jake Muzzin is a little bit more optimistic, like you said, because, you know, it was just more of a precautionary thing. Hold him out because get him back in when they start dealing with more training as opposed to like the skating and all that. But I think you got to look at Justin Hall. I mean, this is a guy who might be on the ropes with his job on the line. We saw how well Timothy Liljegren progressed last season. We saw how much a need they are more of a consistent two-way defenseman on the right-hand side. We saw times that Justin Hall just makes really egregious errors that just leaves you scratching your head at some time at certain points. And, you know, he's been a mainstay in the top four. And if he needs to, if this is the perfect opportunity for him to shine, obviously Liljegren's still going to be in the third pairing with Giordano. If Hall comes out of the gate swinging with the very more consistent effort in that second pairing role, then he's going to solidify his job a little bit more and not have to worry about, you know, a young player trying to take his job away from him. Because throughout the whole entire year, I've been campaigning about having Timothy Liljegren in that top four. And now with him injured, obviously you don't want to see that, but this is, you know, a situation for Hall where he's able to maintain his spot for the time being, see what he can do at the beginning of camp and at the beginning of the season. And then if, you know, Liljegren comes back and Hall struggles and Liljegren plays well in his return and he gets more of an opportunity and more looks in the second pairing, then it's, you know, going to be tough for Justin Hall to try and crack back or get back into that spot, because he was made a healthy scratch quite a bit last season.
Yeah, well, I mean, Giordano is going to be putting a lot more pressure on him to play at such an old age. Yeah. Looks like he's fine, but he's going to have to play a lot, I think, to start the season if all these guys are out. So I'm looking at Giordano being a big part of this to kind of keep the head above water till that happens, everyone kind of coming back.
I think the Jake Muzzin thing is a bigger concern, really. Mm. Because he only played, I just called it up here, 47 games last year. You know, so this has been coming for a while. And come on, you're back, NHL yeah. defenseman. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to be relied on against the best of the best. And my Woodstock boy, my hometown. But man, Jake, I don't know. I'm hoping for you, but it's not looking good.
Yeah, like I say, the back is like the groin for goaltenders. I mean, the back's bad for goaltenders too. I mean, bad back too. But it's like that. You know, it just keeps flaring up. If you have problems, it just seems to always be a problem. So hopefully it's not as bad, but it could be a lingering issue. All right, Kevin, let's talk about the big news. Has been kind of floating around all offseason. Rasmus Sandin, still not signed, not in training camp, probably not going to start the season unless something happens. When do you see a contract happening? Or is this just, he's going to be traded at some point?
I'm thinking it's got to happen now. Like, how much more bad news can you have that you kind of need to solidify your back end? Unfortunately, we kind of saw this one coming because this is Willie Nylander's best buddy and they share the same agent. I don't know why Dubas, when he talked right after the draft and he kind of talked about Sandin, as it kind of seemed almost like a done deal. Like, oh, this is easy stuff. You know, nothing to worry about, nothing to see here. And it was like, you do know who you're talking to, right? It's like, obviously he wants more money than they gave Liljegren. And that was a 2-year deal worth what? I think he's at 1.2 for those years, something like that. Obviously he wants more money. Leafs are already over the cap. It's not looking good. So at this point, they can't start the season down what a Sandin would bring. So maybe a trade and just bring in a defenseman that is actually under contract that can play right now.
Yeah.
And the new team can worry about Sandin's deal, because I don't know how they can get it done. If they don't get it done in the next couple of days here, they've got to trade and get somebody in.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's taken way too long. And, you know, how long did Nylander wait? And it was like into the season, like two months in.
It was at the last deadline. Hour.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was nuts. And then he pretty much lost that season. You never really achieved where he was supposed to be, because you can't play pickup halfway through the season like that. And we can't go through another. I don't think players, they've kind of learned from that Nylander situation. It's not, it's detrimental to the player to hold out too. You lose a lot of time.
Yeah. I wonder if we see kind of similar, like a Nils Lundqvist situation. Obviously he was under contract, different situation with his play time, but maybe the Maple Leafs do trade and get a really good first round pick, especially if it's this year in 2023. This is a deep draft. And if the Maple Leafs can maximize that pick for Rasmus Sandin, who knows what can happen? I mean, again, it was like from one contending team to a playoff team. So maybe same thing can happen where the Maple Leafs are a team in the playoffs, need a left-hand defenseman. They could give them the contract. Maybe the Maple Leafs take advantage of that.
Mm. Yeah, but that would also mean they are without him in anyway, if they're just getting a draft pick. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. How worried are you without Liljegren, Sandin, possibly even Muzzin to start the season? How worried are you about this defense to start?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried, because there is some doubt underneath there because of the fact that you're out, you know, three top six defenders for your team right there. I mean, that's a big hole to fill. Obviously, you have Riley and Brody as your top pairing. You're looking at Giordano and Hall as your second pairing, and then you're going to probably look at Mete and Ben as your third pairing. So you have depth there, but how well are they going to play is what we want to see. Obviously you don't want to draw too many conclusions right now, because you want to see games played, see how well they do. But if they play relatively well and hold the line and they're stable, I think they can manage without that. But to me, the big question is going to be Liljegren, because I think he's bound for a really great season and a very strong breakout season at that. Sandin, again, left-hand shot. You got players that can play both left and right. And Muzzin, again, when healthy, he's absolutely fantastic. But when he's injured, again, that's when you start to worry about his age and his contract right now, because how are you going to deal with that? So I don't even know how to say this. I'm uncertain on how things are going to play out, but I'm not very panicky just yet. I want to see until we get to that 15 game mark where we see, okay, this is our defense is going to play. Then you need to make another move.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the panic button. I didn't like the defense really. It's needed some work for a while. We know that the defensive core has paid the price of having a top end, your core four forwards paid as much. Mm-hmm. The defensive core doesn't have it. Now they've got Morgan Riley signed, but he's not Victor Hedman, is he?
Yeah.
Did I mention I want Victor Hedman? So to me, there was a time when Dubas was running down all the issues that were going on that I half expected him to say, and we've announced that Zdeno Chara is on the team and walked the big giant out, because at this point, it's that much of a panic that you need to find somebody that can skate around and maybe take a few minutes off of the old legs of Giordano and Riley and Brody as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I had to see how it kind of all plays out, but let's talk about it. You know, going to this season, Kevin, how do you think this defense kind of matches up in the division? I mean, I said when healthy in our outline here, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, how does it look right now? Because this is what they're going into the season with.
Yeah, it's for sure trouble. And, you know, we'll get to it in the next segment as well, with goaltending being a big question mark. But, you know, the blue line's got to help the goaltenders out here. And once you get past the top line pairing that, you know, is probably Riley and Brody again. And then Giordano is going to have a rotating partner, as far as we know. I don't know. It hasn't looked good. And that's what I really hoped that Dubas would address in this offseason, was to get that blue line better. And I wish Giordano was, you know, the form of 10 years ago and that blue line would be there, but that's not the case. He's still very good. I wish, I could skate like him at 39 years old, 38 years old, or 60 years old, or however old he is. But this is trouble. This is a lot of trouble right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big question mark going in. So we'll just have to see. All right. Well, you mentioned it, goaltending, and this is a position that changed completely in the offseason. Some say for the worse. Some say some kind of let's wait and see. But they brought in two guys. So let's start with the main guy that has some history with Dubas and something like that. So Peter, let's talk about Matt Murray. What do you think about this not signing trade to get him on the team?
Yeah, big gamble and big risk for Dubas. I mean, obviously you saw Jack Campbell on his sub 800 save percentage down the stretch last season. It wasn't quite enough. I mean, obviously playoffs, obviously didn't look great at times, but he still managed to hold his own and try and bat out duel Andre Vasilevsky. Again, still wasn't enough, but for that time when Jack Campbell had, you know, the sub 800 save percentage in January, February, and March, I believe Matt Murray had a sub 906 save percentage all last season. Again, small sample because he was in and out of the lineup. I believe he did deal with COVID, got sent down. And again, I'm going to get a lot of, you know, backlash because for that stat and comparing the two, but I don't care because it is what it is. You look at even strength save percentage, he had a 913 last season and 820 high danger save percentage, and Jack Campbell's was 790. And if anyone knows, that high danger area is going to be a nightmare for a goaltender. You got to be on the ball to locate the puck and make that save. Jack Campbell didn't. Matt Murray at times did in front of a much lesser defense unit with the Ottawa Senators. So obviously you're expecting him to bounce back. You're expecting to have that, you know, high save percentage in the high danger area and overall down the stretch, even though it was sporadic at times. Your hope is that he could get back to that second half form, be a little bit more consistent, stay healthy, and get those games. And having that familiarity with Dubas, Keith, new goalie coach in town, and even his goaltending consultant is with the Maple Leafs as well, that he's known for a long time. So I think he's bound to have I would hope that he has a bounce back season. I'm rooting for him because this is a guy that won two cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So if he's able to get back to that form, great. If not,
those Stanley Cups seem like ages ago for that.
They were ages ago. Everyone says always a cup winner. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure about it. I was actually really surprised when they got him.
Yeah.
For a team that did Murray, he was on waivers last year. And I don't know. I'm not sure about it. But Kevin, let's talk about the supposed backup, I guess. We'll talk about if that's going to be the case. But Ilya Samsonov coming over from the Washington Capitals. Okay over there. What do you think about him being added to this goaltending tandem?
Well, everyone's trying to figure out exactly why Washington didn't extend, but I'm pretty sure I figured it out because Alex Ovechkin's getting old. And every time a shot came in on this guy, he flapped around like a fish out of water and gave Alex a near heart attack. So they had to get him off the ice to save Ovechkin and keep him a few more years to go after that scoring title. But it's going to be entertaining to watch. He makes every save look very difficult. And he doesn't even have like a real, even last season when he was given the starting role, he got 44 games under his belt. Not that great, over three on the goals against average on a pretty good Washington team. This kind of fell in their lap as maybe a saver for when if Matt Murray doesn't work out. You've got this guy that might, but these are two massive gambles. But Samsonov is going to make watching games entertaining because every shot is an adventure.
I would say that he did look better in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But again, a lot needs to happen. I know that they were talking about or how he wanted to work on his, you know, movement in the crease and not be as sporadic or jumpy, as you mentioned, Kevin. So I think if he's able to maintain that movement in the crease and not overcommit at times, I think you got something to work with there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he is young, right? And so there is a lot of upside. And like you said, they've got the whole new goaltending coaching staff in there. So this is his opportunity, really.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. That's going to be a big one to kind of watch for in the first few weeks to see if they're a big problem or not. Well, Peter, let's talk about both them together. And do you see this being a 1A, 1B? Or will one of them kind of emerge as the actual starter, throughout the season?
Yeah, we talked a bit about this on the Six and the Six podcast too. Who's going to be the starter? And I think you are going to see that 1A, 1B tandem. I think both goaltenders are going to push each other to their limit because, you know, they both got a lot to prove. Samsonov with that contract, he says that he wants to prove himself that he is going to be a number one goaltender. And Matt Murray, with everything that's happened in the past, obviously he wants to get back to that number one status. So that I love that kind of like friendly competition that they have going on, and you're not bringing in a goaltender that is number one that you want to try and replace. You got two guys battling it out and are starting back at zero to work their way up. So I think Matt Murray is going to start it, but in the end, it wouldn't surprise me if Ilya Samsonov does overtake him. Whether it's because they feel comfortable with him, kind of like what they did with Jack Campbell over Frederik Andersen in the past, it remains to be seen. Again, I'm rooting for both goaltenders to try and bounce back because, you know, they got something to prove. And obviously, I'm not going to jump the gun and say I do not want, you know, Matt Murray or Samsonov on this team. I'm going to let it play out. I'm going to see where they are at the 20 game mark, make the judgment, let them play it out, let them see what's going on because they deserve that opportunity. And I think everyone in Leafs Nation should give them that chance as well.
It's fair. They do deserve that chance to kind of see what happens. And I mean, their history is not good, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's a new season, new team, new everything for these guys. So, hit the reset button and just hope for the best, I guess. All right. Well, this is a big question now is where does this goaltending rank, Kevin, in the Atlantic Division?
So now I'm just going to go right over everything Peter said, because I say they're near the bottom. Really? Yeah. You've got in the Atlantic, you've got some great goalie tandems, great goalies themselves and the tandems. Obviously Vasilevskiy just takes the cake there and then it just goes down from there. Bobrovsky and Knight with Florida. Boston's got two great with Swayman and Allmark. I shouldn't say great, but pretty good. The Red Wings even have got some goalies there now as well. Yeah. Ottawa went and got Cam Talbot, who I think is a pretty good goaltender. And that's the biggest red flag to me with Matt Murray is how desperate Ottawa was to get rid of this guy. They're still paying his contract 25%. They gave draft picks. Just take him, please take him. And that's my biggest red flag. I don't think Ottawa is stupid. I think they know something that they don't want this guy around anymore. The injuries are too much. And so it puts them right near the bottom of the Atlantic Division. So we go from the forwards being the top, the defensemen being kind of mediocre to bottom, to the last and the goaltenders, really. And that's what this team has been kind of about for the last 4 years.
Yeah, and it'll only get worse if Jack Campbell thrives in Edmonton. So,
hey, you guys know I live in the Edmonton area, so I'm pretty excited to watch the Edmonton Maple Leafs this year.
Hey.
they got Zach Hyman there too, right? So
yeah, Tyson Berry, Cody,
and he is really good too. Yeah, that's right.
Maple Leafs 2.0.
Yeah,
they've all had pretty good seasons last year too. So
they did.
Well, Tyson Berry is kind of dropping off because of Evan Bouchard kind of emerging.
Yeah,
he's still useful. He's still a useful defenseman. So he may not even be in Edmonton very much longer. So we'll see. Okay, well, let's get to a fun part of the show, our quick fire round, which I'm going to fire questions at you guys. It's going to be a quick one word, it could be one word answer. It could be just a quick one or two sentences, kind of explain if you want to do that. But I'm just going to, fire some quite fun questions at you. So, and we'll start with you, Peter, on this one. What is the biggest storyline? We probably have gone through this already. Biggest storyline or question mark going into the season?
Can the Maple Leafs win a playoff round?
That's a big question.
That's it. I think, I mean, that's the basic one. I think the next one would be, what moves does Dubas have up his sleeve during the season to try and still retool this roster and try and make them a little bit more competitive? Like we talked about the defense, if he could go out and get another defender, great. Let's see what he can do this season because his contract is up.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big one. All right, Kevin, what do you think? Biggest storyline or question mark?
Yeah, the storyline is going to be the playoffs, and Dubas even addressed it and, you know, wishes if we could kind of fast forward through the regular season, because I actually wrote in the summer an article that this is the season about nothing, to take the Seinfeld episode. You know, it's going to be great to watch hockey again, but this doesn't matter. Yeah. The season doesn't matter. Auston Matthews is a great player. He doesn't really even care about the individual the accolades that he gets during the regular season. He wants the cup. Yeah, it's all Stanley Cup or nothing at this point.
Very true. All right, Kevin, we'll start with you on this one. Pick one or two breakout stars for this season.
Breakout stars this year. This one's kind of weird, but I'm going to go Willie Nylander because I think he is a star, but he plays on the second line of a star-studded team. And if you guys watched him play in the Worlds after the playoffs ended there, holy cow, throwing the body around. It was a different kind of Nylander. He was possessed out there, and his playoff performance has always been really well. Maybe he's developed into this guy that we really like and wanted to see. I think he's going to be a 40-goal scorer. I always think he's going to be traded to a team where he will be the top-line guy and will be the face of the franchise. And so I've been going Willie.
All right, good choice. All right, Peter, what do you think, breakout star?
I was gonna say Pierre Engvall for one, because of the fact that he does have a lot to prove. He may get that chance on the top six. Granted, he's going to be at a little bit shorter amount of time than Timothy Liljegren, but also Ilya Samsonov. See what he can do in goal. Obviously, again, a lot to prove, similar to Engvall, and we already talked about him. So I'm just going to keep that short.
All right, Peter, we're back to you on who do you think needs to bounce back this season?
Justin Hall. I think that's the more obvious choice because of the fact that how we saw glimpses of him in the bubble, how he was, you know, emerging as maybe a top four defender to a defender that was like trying to do too much and overcommit and make careless mistakes in his own end. I think if someone needs to bounce back, it's going to be him.
All right, Kevin, what do you think?
Both goalies.
Yeah.
Period. The end. They have to bounce back.
Yeah, they have to. Very true. All right, Peter, pick one player. It could be an X factor this season.
I'm going to say Michael Bunting. Again, Kevin kind of talked about him, how he needs to be, you know, maintain that consistency and being that agitator that, you know, we've grown to love. And if he's able to replicate that 60-point season and still be in the face of the opponents, whole man, look out, because he's still going to be an important part of this team.
For sure. Kevin, what do you think?
Ove Kubel. I just love the grit and the feistiness that this guy is showing. I think he really showed character by doing what he did in Colorado after being put on waivers. And I think he's going to step into a penalty kill role to take up the position left by Mikheyev. And I think he could really do a lot of good things for this team.
Yeah, I definitely see that for sure. All right, Peter, one rookie or prospect that could surprise and make the team out of training camp.
Again, obvious choice would be Nick Robertson. Matthew Knies ain't coming until the collegiate season's done. So I'm going to say Alex Steeves. I was really impressed with him at the rookie tournament. This guy was doing it all. He's got great speed and agility. I didn't think he could get any faster, and he did. He was all over the ice, getting into the board battles, being aggressive, being, you know, just a standout player every single time. I was always drawn to him. And, you know, Keith wants those kind of players that can, you know, be gritty, battle, and maintain possession. Steve's just did just that. And I think he has a good chance to try and crack the team.
Yeah, good choice there. Kevin, what do you think, rookie or prospect, can make the team?
Yeah, I was going to say Robertson as well, but it's so obvious, and this is kind of now or never for him. But I don't have a name on this, but it's got to be somebody in the defensive core because the runway's wide open. There's several positions open for somebody to grab, and I don't know who it is just yet. I know I'm kind of fleecing on this one, but I think there's going to be a rookie defenseman that's going to get the time and going to make the team as a surprise.
Yeah, well, like you say, there's a lot of opportunity there for sure. All right, back to you, Peter. What other players should fans be watching? We have not mentioned on the show yet.
I think we mentioned a lot of people. Yeah, I know we mentioned a lot of people. So I'm sorry if I'm going to have to repeat something, but you know, this is going to be tough. I want to say come back to me, but you know, I'm just going to say TJ Brody. I mean. Yeah. We didn't talk about him quite a bit, so I'm going to pick Brody, how he was able to, like, you know, break up two-on-ones and be a great factor defensively. Obviously, again, some miscues last season, but for the most part, he was very effective defensively. I know, kind of seems like an easy answer, but keep on watching TJ Brody because he's fantastic defensively.
For sure. I'm still waiting for them to pair him with Giordano because they were really good pairing back when. So, Kevin, what do you think? Player we have not mentioned yet.
We've mentioned him, but not too much. Pierre Engvall. If you watch this guy play, he really gets the attention of the opposition. You know, it doesn't get mentioned as much as Michael Bunting, but he gets under guys' skin. And Keefe has loved this guy forever. He was drafted by the Maple Leafs. They want him to finally use this big physical presence that he has, and they're giving him the opportunity. They've signed him the extension. Here's your chance. Prove it. And I think he's a guy to watch. And just watch him after the whistle every once in a while. It's kind of humorous.
Yeah, Engvall's a bit of a character, so it'd be fun to watch him. All right, Peter, this is maybe an easy one, but who will lead the team in scoring on forwards?
Matthews.
There you go. Kevin.
I'm going to go with, no, I'll go with Matthews.
Easy one. All right, what about defense, Peter? I mean, this is maybe an obvious one too.
Yeah, Morgan Rielly, unless, you know, they get another top-tier defender through a trade, but Morgan Rielly.
Same, Kevin, Morgan Rielly? Same,
yeah.
All right. Like I say, some teams have easier ones on this one. So, all right, this is a big one. Peter, one player that can be traded before the deadline?
Going to say Rasmus Sandin. I mean, that contract situation is going to be tough. I assume Dubas wants to avoid another William Nylander situation. If he can't get a deal done, try to move on out and get an asset in return, be it a player, prospect, pick, you name it.
Yeah. All right. Kevin, what do you think? Trade bait.
Yeah. Sandin is there for sure. You know, and then there's seven UFAs coming up on this team. Issue is that this team's been built around, like, to have these players. And we know that these players, a lot of them were brought in as kind of prove them, and they're not going to be re-signed. These are their chance to get a deal and show that they belong in the NHL. So, I can only really see Sandin. And other than that, it's going to be a draft pick that they would be trading away, because they're not going to be trading away a player of worth that's on the ice at this point. I can't see it.
All right. Bonus question. Who do you see them acquiring?
Too early to tell.
I've got to say this because it might just be, you know, a video game dream. But I think there's issues in Winnipeg. And they're, you know, they've stripped the C and they've got a great goalie there. Mm. I would love to see an all-in to get Connor Hellebuyck in Toronto, because the goaltending I'm just fearful of, and Hellebuyck is a hell of a goalie, right? So, yeah. And Winnipeg had some problems last year. I don't know if those problems are figured out, but they might be in rebuild mode, and they could get a lot of good stuff for a guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to change my answer, and Matt, you're probably not going to like this, or either the Arizona Coyotes fans from the past, Connor Garland.
That's been there your guy for years.
It has been for years, and I'm still gonna stand by it.
Did you get a jersey made with that guy's name on it, and you're just waiting to wear it, or what?
If the Maple Leafs do acquire him, maybe. Yeah.
Well, for my part, I don't want him out of Vancouver. I really want him to, so. But he has been talked about, that's for sure, because the Canucks need defense. So, all right, fun one here. I know, Kevin, you alluded to, you didn't want to say, but bold prediction, hot take for the season.
Well, the bold prediction is that I think Austin Matthews, he will get the three-peat of the Rocket Richard. That might not be overly bold, but I think he could also double up on the Ted and the Hart as well. I think he's just become, you know, there's always the argument of Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews. And I really do feel that Austin Matthews has pulled into the lead on that for all around. Connor McDavid is an amazing player, but I think Austin, I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. And I think we're going to see some incredible numbers. I'm going to say 70 goals this year. Ooh, bold prediction.
We'll come back to that, see if that happened. All right, Peter, a bold prediction or a hot take?
John Tavares gets 80 points. I know that a lot of Maple Leaf fans are not going to be happy with that because of the fact that he's a captain earning $11 million. He's not scoring a lot. Yeah, well, you know, he was almost under a point per game, and he was 4 points away from cracking 80 points last season. So at his age, the fact that he's healthy, the fact that he's got, you know, more training under his skin this time, after that serious concussion that he suffered in the bubble, I think, you know, he seems more motivated this time around. I think he's going to have a really great season, and 80 points is definitely within reach for him, despite the fact that he is, you know, 32. I think he's still got a few more years at that age. And also, Murray and Samsonov are going to be just fine.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold one. All right. Now this is the ultimate question. Not so far as being making the playoffs, because they probably will. Peter, where do you see them finishing in the standings? And I asked this, will they make the playoffs? But I'm pretty sure they will. Mm-hmm. How far do they go in the playoffs?
Yeah. Again, I like to think that they can at least win a round in the playoffs, but overall in the standings, I think they may still finish second in the Atlantic. Obviously, Florida still has the forward talent. They got Matthew Tkachuk, but losing Mackenzie Weegar is huge, and their depth is not that great defensively. And if you have to rely on Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight, who I still love and I think is going to bounce back, but he just hasn't quite found his game just yet, to rely on that kind of goaltending that I think is probably in a more questionable state than the Maple Leafs at this point, I think they vault over Florida because of that situation with their defense. And I think Tampa's going to win it, but I think Toronto is going to be in that, you know, second. I'm going to throw in the third spot as well, because anything can happen.
Yeah, for sure. Kevin, what do you think? Where are they going to finish?
Well, I think they will finish first in the Atlantic. The issue is they'll be against Florida or Tampa. I think Tampa is going to be slow starters. All these deep playoff runs that they've been going through have got to be starting to take a toll. They already have. So I don't think Tampa's going to be as good during the regular season, and they'll turn it on in the playoffs. And so I think there's a really good opportunity for this team to grab the Atlantic title.
All right. How far do you see them going in the playoffs?
And that's where I come to an all stop. Unfortunately, I don't know. I'm very hopeful that the bottom six has got enough to provide that depth and grit that this team needs on the forward lines. But it's still that the defense and the goalies are just too big of a question mark for me. You guys know every year I get asked if I'm taking the Leafs. And of course I bet every year the Leafs are going to win the cup, because that's what I have to do. But I can't make those bets anymore without knowing I'm just giving a charity at this point.
Yeah.
Can I do a third bold take and say that they will reach the Eastern Conference final?
All right. You're throwing them all in there.
Again, really bold take. I think it's going to be bolder than my other two, but at the same time, I think they figure things out. I really do.
All right. Like I say, this is going to come back as a clip. I'll run this clip right after.
Hey, I'll eat my words if I have to. I'll do it. But hey, you got to be optimistic. You got to have faith, right?
No, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, thanks, Peter. Thanks, Kevin, for coming on the season preview show. We went through a lot, and hopeful that the season will be good. And well, obviously, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, as it always is, throughout the regular season on any of these teams we cover. So it's going to be fun. But before I let you guys go, we like to do a segment on the Hockey Writers Podcast, an article of the day. So they give you an opportunity to either plug your own stuff or someone on the Maple Leafs writing team. And so it's let you kind of feature an article. So Peter, I'll go first with you.
I'm going to say Rangers Drury gets a nice return in Nils Lundqvist trade by Brian Abate. Obviously, it was difficult to try and trade a young, promising two-way defender for the Rangers, but given their situation and how they're really stable on the back end, to get a first round, a conditional first round pick in 2023, but could go to 2024. The fact that if that pick is outside the top 10 and the Rangers keep it, they're getting a heck of a prospect. And I know, go to Prospects Corner for, talk about 2023 draft stuff because it's going to be great. But the fact that they were able to get that kind of pick in return for a defender that's still struggling to maintain status inside and out of the lineup was a really great get. And I think that, you know, this proves that the Rangers are starting to make some key moves that are still building to be that contender, but also still looking to maintain their prospect depth as well. So I thought it was a really great read by Brian. That's my article of the day.
All right. You went outside the Maple Leafs, but yeah. We're usually keeping it in the team, but yeah, that's fine. All right, Kevin, now what do you have?
Leafs got enough talk, really.
There's a lot. Maple Leafs side kind of dominates.
Oh, okay. That was my mistake.
No problem. Went with a different article. I'm sure because Brian appreciates it.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin.
My article is actually by my man Peter here, because every writer on the Maple Leafs has kind of talked about the same thing, and his is Maple Leafs must be willing to go all in for a Stanley Cup. And pretty much everybody has kind of said that one way or another. So I always like reading what his reasons are and kind of where he sees things going with that. Because I've unfortunately mentioned the whole cliche. It's become the cliche of the last dance. But it really is. Like, this really is. And it's kind of exciting to think from a writing perspective that if this doesn't go as planned, big changes are coming.
Yeah.
If it does go to plan, it's still exciting to cover that too. So we want to see this all in that all the writers have talked about. And I really like Peter's article that has the same talk and his ideas about how it's going to be all in.
There you go. All right. Well, Dubas, like you say, Dubas in his last contract, you know, the final year of his contract, I'm sure if they get kicked in the first round, I don't think he's back. So we will have to see how that all plays out.
Because I totally messed up the article of the day because I thought I was still, you know, picking other people's articles. I'm sorry about that. But I if we're doing Leaf content, I want to do Alex Hobson's 4 takeaways from day 1 of Maple Leafs training camp. I'm sorry if I'm doing 2, but now that I realize it is for the Maple Leafs team. He did a great recap of everything that unfolded for the Maple Leafs, from Dubas's comments to the Rodion Amirov's possible return to the season based on his, you know, cancer treatment and going through his last chemotherapy. I thought he covered everything in like spot on with every single aspect in major detail. So give that a read as well for takeaways in terms of Leafs content for takeaways from day 1 by Alex.
Awesome. There you go. So Brian, you got an extra bonus on a show. There you go. Read that as well.
Yeah.
I know Lundqvist was in the discussion. The Maple Leafs could have been in there too. So there was connections. All right. But thanks again for Peter and Kevin coming on the show. It was great talking Maple Leafs and what's going to happen this season. We're over halfway of all the teams we're doing previews for. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to start packaging these together because we're coming up on the big, you know, the season kind of starting here. So preseason just around the corner. We're recording this. Preseason games start tomorrow, which would be Saturday. Hockey's back. We're going to start watching some stuff, even though it's preseason, everyone loves it. It's hockey on TV. So, that's, and not online streaming like the rookie camps, which are hit or miss for online streams, but
it was fun to watch.
We'll get some actual games on TV that are on through networks. So I will have some fun watching hockey but thanks for joining us on another Hockey Writers Podcast season preview show. Make sure you're checking out all the Maple Leafs writers' content throughout the preseason. Going to the regular season, they've got a lot of preview posts already out there, kind of preparing everyone for the regular season. And so there's lots of stuff to read. If you're a Maple Leafs fan, hockey fan in general, there's lots of stuff to read on the website as well. So take a look at that. Take a look at the Morning Skate newsletter, morningskate.io. And that's going Monday, Wednesday, and Friday until it goes back to its regular schedule of Monday to Friday once the regular season starts. And check out our Quick Fire with the Hockey Writers, which we've got a few episodes out as well on the YouTube channel that we'll have a few more as the season goes. But check those out. And we'll see you next time on another season preview show on the Hockey Writers Podcast.